when someone plants a bomb somewhere, that's called terrorism. When someone puts a GPS tracker on your car, that's called surveillance. But why? What is terrorism? And who is terrorizing whom? Anne Roth will give you a practical experience.
Good evening. On the 30th of July of this year, my son turned 5 years. We had a nice birthday party. He got lots of presents, his first computer. He stayed up pretty late, so did we, and then we went to bed. 7 o'clock the next morning, there were very hard bangs on our door, and outside were the Federal Police of Germany, who were about to kick in our door and arrested my partner, André Holm, for being a terrorist. That day, a nightmare started in our life that hasn't really finished by now. And I'm going to talk to you about a little bit about the background of this case of terrorism in Germany. The legal proceedings, I'll try to keep that short. I think probably many of you have read or heard something about this. And what I was invited here to talk about for is that a while after all of this has started, I decided to start a weblog and describe the details, the everyday life of living with surveillance that is directed at terrorists in Germany. I'll give a short overview of why I started blogging. I'll tell you some of the stories that I blogged about and that raised a lot of attention. I'll try to also go a little bit into the reactions that I got, mostly from comments, but also from articles, people talking to me. And if there's time in the end, I'll talk a little bit about what I think surveillance does to you. André was arrested in our house. He was thrown on the floor, handcuffed, put on the sofa. I was told to wake my children. All of this happened with something like 15 armed cops who stormed into our place and screamed at us. I was told to wake up my children and dress them and give them breakfast and take them to kindergarten and then to come back. I called a lawyer, and André was taken away to some prison, some police station in Berlin, and the cops raided our place for something like 15 hours. They left around 11 at night after having gone through all of our books, all of our videotapes, all the waste paper that we had somewhere, even the waste paper outside, etc., etc., etc. All of these kinds of things that you know from watching crime thrillers on TV, maybe. And it was pretty much like that. It's a very strange feeling to have it happen in your bedroom all of a sudden when you wake up and you look at some armed cop. And I think the only thing that I thought was, okay, so this is what that feels like. I think many of us maybe have, or maybe not many of us, but I think some of us, political activists probably, or hackers, I think, have thought of the theoretical possibility that something like that could happen. We all probably make jokes sometimes about funny sounds in our phones that someone might be listening in, or wondering whether the person who is also in the street might be some plainclothes cop. I think that's something that you don't really think about a lot. But then all of a sudden it became true in my life. My partner was gone. He was flown to Karlsruhe together with three others who were also arrested that very same night, who were forced to wear white suits that reminded people of Guantanamo-style suits. And they were then issued an arrest warrant by the Federal High Court of Germany for being terrorists, for forming a terrorist organization called the Militant Group. The legal construction of this case is that allegedly there is four so-called academics who formed this militant group, and an investigation against them was started in September 2006, as far as we know. That's what's in the files. And the initial suspicion was based on an internet research. It has been described often as a Google research. As far as we know, it wasn't done with Google, but some kind of software that is used by police. And they were looking for texts to compare them to declarations by this militant group and to do a linguistic analysis to find out whether these four academics may be the authors of those texts. What they were looking for were words like gentrification, precarization, frame of reference, many other words that probably very many people use, and someone has said that probably through this case now gentrification is much better known than it was ever before. They were looking for texts by specific people, which leaves the possibility to say that if you publish online and if you use your real name and if you publish on certain topics, then that already may be the reason for an initial suspicion by the Federal Police of Germany whether you might be a terrorist. Another reason given in the arrest warrant for arresting André was that he matched what the police consider the some criteria they think the militant group fits, which is he had a lot of close friends. He has an extraordinary political and historical knowledge. He had no police record. He is able to write analytical texts, and he is not a member of any specific part of left-wing movements. These are the criteria that they are looking for when they look for the militant group that they have been looking for, as far as I know, since 2001. And there is another investigation against other people who are also accused of being militant group, and so far they haven't really found anyone, I think. The third criteria for the arrest warrant was that allegedly they were using what is called conspirative behavior. For example, they didn't take their mobile phones to some meetings, or they made dates with friends and didn't explicitly say when and where exactly they were going to meet and why. For example, if you call someone and say, why don't we meet tomorrow in the same bar we always meet, that is considered conspirative behavior. Also, if you meet a friend and you go for a walk and then sometimes you turn around or you turn around again, this is considered looking out for someone who might be watching for you, meaning you are aware that someone might be watching out for you, and that is conspirative in itself and is a reason that was given in the arrest warrant by the Federal Court of Germany to actually send André and the three others to prison. The three others that were arrested with him were allegedly caught on the road after having tried to set fire to three army vehicles. And they were arrested, or they were followed, as far as we can tell, because one of them allegedly has met André twice, once in February, once in April, and in this way got into the attention of the cops that were following André around. And because these three met, or one of the three met with one of the four, it's a bit tricky, like there's three people who were caught trying to set fire to army trucks, and they are now terrorists because they met with one who is part of four people who have been considered to be terrorists since September last year. I know this is not easy to understand, but that's the way it works. Four terrorists, three arsonists, this is in brackets, make together 3-7 terrorists who still now are under investigation. André was released preliminarily from prison after 3 weeks on bail, and the federal prosecutor filed a complaint against this release, and thus the High Court had to decide whether they would grant this complaint. And this was a very important decision they made that took place on the 24th of October. And in fact, the High Court said that not only did they not grant the complaint by the federal prosecutor, but also they completely overthrew the arrest warrant, basically saying that from their point of view, only suspicion isn't enough. That's written in this decision. And they considered not enough or not actually any hard evidence being given by the police at all, and so the arrest warrant was taken back, but the investigation was still going on. What was very tricky about this decision is that the federal court doesn't give you any dates when they will make decisions. So after Andre was released on the 22nd of August, we knew that this decision was going to come about the complaint by the federal prosecutor. And if they had granted the decision, Andre would have been arrested and would have been put back into prison. And we didn't know when this decision was going to be made. So basically for 2 months, we were waiting and we knew that they weren't going to call us before and say that they made this decision. We knew that the cops were just going to show up and arrest him right away. And we were living with this situation for 2 months. Unfortunately, the decision was a good decision. And so there was no more prison for him, but the other three were still in prison and then also filed a complaint against the situation of them being in prison when the main terrorist already wasn't considered such a bad terrorist anymore. So this decision was made on the 28th of November and all three of them were released then also. The court also had to decide whether or what actually they thought constitutes terrorism and when this terrorist law of Germany should be applied and to whom and for what. And that was quite an important decision to be made, and actually they decided that that these seven are not a terrorist organization anymore, but instead a so-called militant organization, which from the point of view of surveillance doesn't really make such a big difference, I think, and the investigation is pretty much the same, but the possible sentence that they will get in this law case is reduced from 10 to 5 years. The proceedings are being done under the terrorist article 129A of the German Penal Code, and basically this has been widely considered as a method mainly to investigate and use surveillance against political activists in Germany. Only very few of the people against whom these investigations are being started are actually taken to court. The numbers vary, it's something like between 3 and 5%. For all others, there's just an investigation being carried out, sometimes a long-term investigation that goes over a year. Normally, people don't even find out that this investigation is happening. Only very, very rarely the cases are actually opened and people are being told about this. Often the cases are just being closed. A lot of information has been gathered and people will never find out. At the moment, there is, as far as we know, 4 cases happening against terrorists who are, in fact, political activists. There's 40 suspects against these investigations are being done, and these 40 suspects have many friends against who are also mentioned in the files, and we have a rough estimate, and we think that approximately 2,000 people are mentioned in these files that are also under investigation of some sort, their phones being listened to, their dates being watched, people following them around, GPS or other listening devices in their car, etc., etc. The normal set of investigations, so to say, is that your phones are being listened to, also your friends' phones, your partner's phones, your family, everybody. There's video cameras outside, at least outside the houses. All of your telecommunication is being intercepted. That means all of your email, all of your internet, all of your phone calls that goes via internet. Often you have GPS and bugging devices in cars. Andre was in prison for 3 weeks and I realized after a few days when he was arrested that my life had changed into something very different than it had been before. It took a while to get over the shock of having your partner arrested in a situation where you really didn't think this was going to happen like that. And then I instantly turned into an expert having to answer questions about what is prison like, what is surveillance like, how do these law cases work, what is the legal proceedings like, why is all of this happening, and what actually did he do? And all of these things were things that I really didn't know. And after a while, I started thinking that some of the things that I had noticed before that I found somehow a bit funny but didn't really pay a lot of attention to may have to do with the surveillance that we were subjected to. And only after a while, I was told and realized and found out that me too, I had my phone being listened to all the time since already the beginning of January of this year, that all of my email was being read, etc., etc. And I had my phone react in strange ways. Actually, I had before thought that my phone was somehow... the hardware was somehow broken because it crashed all the time. It just stopped working all of the time, and I was about to give it back, but didn't then, luckily, because I don't know what else I would have gotten. And all of these strange stories that I had in my head were in a way that I thought, if I tell this to anybody, people are not going to believe me, or else they are going to think this is really very strange. Or they will find this really strange, but it will be forgotten after a while. You tell these stories and then they go away again. I thought, I need to write these things down because it's very bizarre and it's not very few people who have this kind of thing happening. Then I started thinking about blogging, and before I was not very fond of writing weblogs. I actually am quite fond of my privacy. I don't really like so much, or didn't like that much, the idea of presenting my private life to a public I don't know. And also I did think that the pressure of having to produce something all the time to be up to date and to make it be interesting was something that I didn't really want to issue myself to. On the other hand, I thought there are so many people who have a right to know, who really want to know. We had a lot of people who gave support in all different kinds, who donated money, who helped me with the children, who offered all kinds of other help that we could use, and also all of our family, of course, had a right to understand what all of these details were about, and so I thought I need to write this down for people. And in the beginning I started emailing about it, and then I thought, okay, then why not blog about it? Then I have it all in one place, it's documented, and then the cops know about it anyway, so if they know about it, then probably everybody else can know about it also. I started blogging in the beginning of October, quite late. It really took me a while to make this decision. And in the beginning, only very few people read about it. I didn't know much about blogging. I didn't feel like getting into all of these little things that you can do to make your blog better known. But it was picked up rather fast, after 3 weeks, I think, by some other rather well-known bloggers, and then it got a lot of attention. The stories that I wrote in my blog are some stories about that describe the search, that describe the arrest, that describe the situation in prison. Then some describe this everyday situation with surveillance. All the little, very little funny things that happen that you don't really know whether this has something to do with surveillance or whether it's just some technical little problem that is just normal. But you're already wondering about this all the time. Is that normal? Is that not normal? Is that surveillance? Is that the cops? Is it not? Makes your head turn a lot. And it actually feels much better to just write it down and not think about it all the time. And then also I started writing about the details of the legal proceedings, which in itself are also really quite crazy and have very many details where you didn't really think that in a democracy or a so-called democracy like ours, legal proceedings against terrorists, which are considered to be the major threat against civil society or civilized society, would actually work on a level like this. The prison stories are shocking in a way, and in a way they are not. There's many people who live in prison. Actually, this is not special to terrorists, and it is very shocking, and most people don't know about these things. What I didn't know and didn't realize is that, for example, if people are in investigative detention, meaning they haven't been tried yet, that they have to have friends or family who wash their laundry. You have to go there every week, pick up the dirty laundry, wash it, and bring it back once a week. I thought this something like that would be happening in Russia, maybe, but I really didn't realize in Germany it's like that. What is special about prison for terrorists in Germany, or so-called terrorists in Germany, is that you cannot touch the person that you visit. There is a window in between, and you have people sitting next to you by the federal police who are listening and writing down what you speak, and on the other side as well, you can like watch your partner, and then you watch the person sitting next to him, and you have a microphone that you talk through, and everything is being listened to, which is not very intimate. Specifically not if you haven't talked to each other for a week or so, and then you have something like that. The same goes for letters. It took me a long time to start writing letters. Andre got a lot of letters and postcards in prison, and I think this was really helpful for him. It is very nice if you get at least something from the outside world that is supportive, but for me, it really took me a long time to start writing because I had the feeling, basically, I'm not writing to him because the judge who has been signing all of these papers by the police asking for methods of investigation to be approved is the same guy who's reading all of my letters to him. So I had the feeling I'm not really writing to my partner, but instead I'm writing to some judge, and then my partner also gets to read it, and that's the feeling that I had, and that is not very, very intimate as well. Also, I thought in a way this was strange because I knew that my phone was being listened to all the time by that time, and it was easier for me to deal with this than to deal with the fact that a judge was reading the letter. It doesn't really make a difference, but it felt very different. There's many more things to be said about prison, but not today. When he was released from prison, something happened that got a lot of attention also because it was extremely scandalous, I think. And he was released from prison 3 weeks after he was arrested. He had a lot of things to carry because he didn't think before that, or well, none of this was planned, basically. So he had a lot of stuff. His parents and I were picking him up from prison, and he had two big folders with files because he had just gotten those to prepare himself for other decisions to be made. And so, of course, the prisoners have a right to see their files. And his mother had had a black bag that she normally uses for shopping, and so she gave him this black bag to put his files inside. And we went home. And the next day, he called his mother on the phone saying, why don't we all meet next Sunday for some coffee and cake, and you come by, and the children, and we're all together, and have a nice, very quiet and friendly and relaxing Sunday afternoon. And what happened then is that she also was not yet quite used to being listened to on the phone, and she didn't realize then that you shouldn't really be either ironic or non-explicit when you talk on the phone while the police is listening. And she said then, also, I would like to talk about the content of the black bag. Which resulted in the federal police hearing that, making the mistake of thinking that apparently it must have been, can't be other, any other explanation for that, some really drastic evidence must be in the apartment of the parents, which she is going to bring to the meeting, and then we are all going to talk about that. I don't know exactly how police think terrorists work, but the idea that you would put something very dangerous that you use for terrorist attacks in your parents' apartment and then talk about it on the phone is something I would not really imagine to happen, but apparently the police thought that is quite likely, and so they started following his parents around. They were included in the observation. They had actually considered raiding their apartment because of that evidence, and the idea was that they would stop them before they came to our house with this black bag of this really dangerous evidence and search their bag. For some reason, they didn't manage. These are two elderly people, very friendly. They don't usually run and jump, and it's, I think, not very difficult to just stop them in the street, but they didn't manage. And this is written down in the files very nicely, and actually I thought that was really nice because it gave us something to laugh about. Several hours of phone calls Sunday afternoon. The federal prosecutor of Germany was busy and in her office, and the federal police was busy and in their office, and they had lots of phone calls going back and forth. Who was now going to go into our place and search? Because they had decided another raid was necessary because this evidence must be so important that they really need to get it. And several hours later, we had eaten all the cake and we had had our coffee and we were just about to go for a walk. Another bang on the door, and again the federal police searching our house wanting to have a look at the black bag. And at that moment I really thought, this is a very strange game. We showed them the content of the black bag. We had a little screaming match because, again, the children were in the apartment. Again, we had lots of police, well, not as many, but police with arms who stormed into the apartment, who demanded that their orders were followed right away. And I wanted the children out. Our children are small. I don't think they need to see all of this. I don't think they need to make these experiences. And, of course, that was... Thank you. This was not possible. All of these legal procedures had to go on right away with the children there who stared at everything. They realized that it was only the files. They were told by the lawyers who were called by the time and really screamed at them very loudly that this is really the only thing that the police are not allowed to look at. The files to the proceedings given to the defendant to be used. As a defense material, and that's something the police are not allowed to look at, but they did anyways. And then there were two police officers who kind of walked through our apartment and didn't, it was obvious and visible that they also didn't really believe in the necessity of this thing and didn't feel very comfortable. That's one of the stories that I wrote and that was considered rather amazing by a lot of people.